Welcome back, everyone, to the Mavericks and Misfits podcast. Today's episode is audio only, but the YouTube videos will resume in a couple of weeks. Today, Jeff brings us a strong exhortation on several topics pertaining to what God is presently doing in his church through the willing and committed. Jeff also calls those who have become disengaged to consider that now is the time to jump back in. Let's buckle up, because this one is going to flow in a strong, swift current.
Welcome back, everybody, to the latest episode of Mavericks and Misfits. Thanks for tuning into the podcast. If you are listening to this because you could not find the video episode, many of you have subscribed to the YouTube Mavericks and Misfits podcast channel. And I am in a little bit of a crunch right now. Got a lot of great stuff going on. And just going to tell the truth to you, did not have the ability nor the time to invest in the video process for the next couple of episodes, because I can bang out these audio recordings without a whole lot of effort. The video recordings require some people with skills that are a little bit higher than mine, and I didn't have time to coordinate. And honestly, just really wanted to release some content and buy myself a little bit of time. We're not done with the YouTube channel. The videos will be back up in a couple of weeks. But for this episode and probably the next one, it's just going to be audio. So if you are typically watching on YouTube, we welcome you to the audio podcast. And I'm just grateful that you've tuned in. Mavericks and Misfits began in the late summer of the year 2020. That was COVID year. For me, it was also cancer year. And so while the world was going bananas, figuring out how to respond to COVID, and the church was going nuts trying to figure out how to respond to COVID, I was at home on sabbatical recuperating by my pool after some major surgeries, some chemo, and some radiation. And you guys got to handle it without me. But as that process of healing started coming towards its end, I had months of just God speaking to me while I was out of ministry, out of work, literally reading. I think I read 30 books in 9 months, and just listening to the Lord, and took a break from all of the pressures, all of the demands, the nonstop labor that is required with the ministries I was leading. And during that time, towards the end of it, I still had a few months of sabbatical left. So I started the Mavericks and Misfits podcast almost exclusively as an outlet just to release some of what God was giving me. And here we are, you know, 5 years later almost, and we are still going at it with a little bit more intentionality and focus. And every week when you turn in, my goal is just to touch on a topic that hopefully will impact your life, something that is normal, something that we think about, something that Christians debate about. Sometimes we fight about it, and oftentimes it can be stuff from the culture, but most of the time it's just kingdom teaching and things that I want us to get a biblical grasp on. I am a lover of the local church. I love the kingdom. I love to advance the kingdom. I love pioneering. I love fivefold ministry and apostolic advance of the kingdom of God in our generation. I love pouring into people. And my primary, I think, calling is to help people step into the fullness of what God has for them. And I do that typically by communication of Bible truths. And, you know, I have the blessing of pouring into a handful of people in this current season, a little bit more one-on-one. I can't do it all the time, and I can't do it with as many as I like, but the Lord will highlight some young men. I'm not young anymore. I'm not old, but I'm not young anymore. I'm about to be 55, and I just see the value in helping guys in their 20s and 30s and even a couple in their 40s to walk down pathways that have brought me much pleasure in the Lord and joy and fruit and purpose. But my goal is to help them avoid the landmines that I ignorantly stepped on when I was doing life and kingdom in younger years. So that's a thrill to me. Amy shares that passion with me. We are currently praying, and I guess probably just still in the praying, the early stages of planning a ministry that she and I plan to share together. It's going to involve younger adults. We have always had a strong, well, maybe not always, but we have in the last 15 years had a strong, strong burden to help young adults. And typically young singles, but sometimes married couples that are getting started. And Amy and I just have this renewed passion now to get back involved in that. We've had a kind of a a whirlwind couple of years with life, and becoming grandparents and moving and shifts in ministry and just all sorts of, you know, challenges, but blessings within the challenges. So we haven't been able to devote the amount of bandwidth that we would like to getting back connected. It's been five years or so, maybe five, 6 years since we were really pouring into young people. Hold on, my brain is telling me it hasn't been that long. It was 2022 when we last hosted young adults in our home. So you can do the math, about 3 years ago. And we miss it. And so we're currently working on a project that will involve facilities and opportunities, not only to minister to young people, but to host prayer, prophetic impartation, maybe some teaching, maybe even moving the Transforming Truth Studios for filming to this location. And I don't want to give too much detail because I don't have a fully formed vision for this, but we're working on it. And I covet your prayers on this thing. Before I launch into what I want to talk about today, I'm just going to be transparent. I very rarely do this, but I want to encourage you. If you feel inclined to pray for me and Amy, the ministries entrusted to us that we're partnering in, I'm asking for you to pray very specifically for wisdom, courage, vision, and resources, both financial resources, but also people resources to help us with this project that's coming up. We will go public with it in the next 30, 60 days, somewhere along there. We just don't want to give premature information because it's still in formation stage, but it is going to happen. And it'll be housed primarily close to where we live up in Dawsonville. And we just need the favor of God on us. So please pray for me in that. Pray for us to have the wisdom. We feel both of us got this independently from the Lord within a matter of weeks from each other in our own individual walks. Amy was hearing the Lord talk about this. I was hearing the Lord talk about this. We had access to a facility, but it needs to be built out. And we both just started feeling the pulse of Jesus. Amy flows very strongly in discernment and prophetic, and she hears the Lord, and my gifts are more apostolic and teaching. So she kind of gets the vision and the prophetic headlines, and then I go into action. And so we're partnering well in this, and I think it's going to be an incredible blessing for us to do something outside the four walls of the church. I'm not leaving my church. I love Antioch Outpost, not going anywhere. Love Kineo Ministry Training Center and Christ Fellowship Church. So my primary places of ministry and kingdom influence are not going to change. Mavericks and Misfits is going to continue. Transforming Truth is going to continue. So this is just something new that the Lord is doing, something fresh. Places like this, I don't have my content today, but places like I'm talking about are going to be very crucial in years to come. And I am not a prophet of doom, but I'm also not a lying prophet. I'm not a prophet, really. That's not my primary gifting, but you know what I'm saying. I'm not going to traffic in watered-down realities. We got to call it like it is. And there will come a time, this is my guess, write it down and hold me accountable, but this is not the word of the Lord, but this is my guess. Somewhere after probably in the next 4 or 5 years, there'll be a great pushback. Right now, we've got the wind at our back as Christians. We've got even some realm of support from the culture. It's shifting a little bit. Christians are coming out of their, you know, smackdown closet where the previous administration and the culture and the wokeism and the DEI and, you know, the anti-Christian bias in the culture was at fever pitch during the last governmental administration in the federal level. And with the election of President Trump, that kind of pushback and low grade persecution or resistance, you know, just, hey, Christians, shut up, get out of the way. That's gone. And now you see all sorts of people becoming bold in their faith. Here's what my prediction is. My prediction is that that's going to lessen when Trump's term is done. There will be a desire from the left to push back extremely hard on the ground that has been advanced, and I'm talking primarily governmentally, culturally, and atmospherically. There's less atmospheric resistance to the values of biblical Christians right now. But when the tide turns, as you see President Trump currently undoing everything that was some of the nauseating things that the Biden administration, and even going back to Obama, the left, the radical left, he is just by executive order and by sheer determination and will, he's undoing a lot of that stuff. My prediction is that when the power shifts back to the left, they are going to overcorrect and they are going to come hard against the church. They're going to come hard against conservatism. They're going to come hard against biblical morality. They're going to give a much stronger pushback to retake what they feel has been stolen from them. And that will have an effect on the church. Why did I just go into that long little segue about, you know, politics? And one, because we live in a world and in a country, a nation that is dominated by political influence because the church abdicated her influence about 60 years ago. The church completely began to abdicate her influence and the government stepped in. So the government came in as, you know, a savior and a messiah. And over years that rescue, that help, that we're going to be there for you, part of the verbiage of the government, has become, we're here for you, we're going to take care of you, shut up, sit down, don't ask questions, we're the smart ones, y'all are the dumb ones. And that's just gotten worse and worse, and the church should have been filling the gap. But the government came in as the presumed savior, and what we've got is we got a false messiah in the federal government all the way down to the local levels. And the church is saying, hey, what happened? Well, I'll tell you what happened. The church dropped the ball. You know, probably in the 60s, the church dropped the ball, dropped it heavier in the 70s, tried to get it back in the 80s, tried to get it back in the early 90s. And ever since probably, you know, the Bill Clinton era, the church is just really slidden downhill and the government has taken the reins. And so here we are in a country that now can't figure out if male is male and female is female, that can't understand the danger of putting men in girls' locker rooms and girls' bathrooms, not to mention, you know, the fact that women don't even have a place anymore where men, deviant men, depraved men, deranged men who think they're women, step into the world of women and say, no, we're taking this space here because you can't tell me I'm not a female. It's just absurd. But, you know, you can point the finger at government all day long. I'm just going to have to look back at us and say, well, this is, we're reaping what we sowed. We sowed indifference, we sowed apathy, we sowed silence, and in those gaps, the government has stepped in, the culture has stepped in, Hollywood has stepped in, and here we are. So, hallelujah, the church is being purified. The church is not lost. I believe that the Gen Z is going to reclaim a lot of the ground that Gen X surrendered. And millennials, I love you. You just got to figure out what you guys are going to do. You got to quit being wounded and offended and perpetually. And these are generalizations. This is not every millennial. But the millennials are so disgusted with the disillusionment that has occurred in the church over the last 15 years, that the millennials just kind of sitting around protesting and not really doing a whole lot. They're abandoning the church. They're walking away. They're going to the world. And then when they do reflect on the church, this again is a generalization about a generation. The millennials are very clear on what's wrong with the church, but they're not doing as much to solve it. Whereas Gen X is scrambling a little bit saying, oh my goodness, we have fumbled. The boomers fumbled. We fumbled. And Gen X is like, okay, let's put in the work. Let's put in the work. Let's get this done. And then what's cool and very encouraging to me is Gen Z is sitting down and saying, we just want to know what's true. And when we believe and understand what is true, we're going to give our very best to it. We're not looking for long speeches and ceaseless lectures. We're looking for investment. We're looking for example. We're looking for people that are real in the kingdom. And we just want to know what's real. We're not copping out. We're not giving up. But we're not going to walk in the previous representation of what the Church of Jesus Christ actually is. And so, guys, I live in these two worlds of, you know, just smacking myself on the forehead and saying, how do we get here? And then this other world, the predominant world I live in, is the world that says, okay, there is a whole lot of hope. There's a whole lot to be encouraged about. The reformations that are happening in the church, the exposure that's happening in the church. God's not letting his people get away with bad attitudes anymore, immorality anymore, things that, you know, are works of the flesh. God's not letting us stay there. And that's a mercy of the Lord. When the Lord starts exposing And when the Lord starts calling us repeatedly, non-negotiably, come back home to me on my terms, my children, that is a mercy of the Lord. And so everybody I'm talking to that is really walking in the Spirit is sharing similar stories of, man, God is really speaking to me about these issues in my own life. God's showing me that my attitudes, God's showing me my pride, God's showing me my indifference and my slothfulness towards the kingdom. And God's working on marriages. He's bringing husbands and wives. Amy gave me this word a couple of days ago. And she said one of the things that she sees happening is God renewing husband and wife teamwork in the kingdom to fill a vacuum that in a lot of places has been so solo male dominated. Male pastors, male prophets, male apostles, male leaders who aren't ministering with their wives as partners. And what happened is these men are alone and these young women are getting preyed upon. And what God is doing is he's restoring order. He's saying, I'm going to put husbands and wives together in prominent places of influence and leadership so that the young women can risk it again. And even some young men in some of these cases, it's not just the young women that are being preyed upon, but there is this blend of husband and wife ministry leadership that is emerging to create a safer space for these Gen Zers that just don't want to be manipulated. And so it's just a lot of stuff going on. And I'm so thrilled that, for all that is blemished and wrong with the local church and the Big C Church in America, for those of us that have, turned in our badge and are no longer roaming the streets as perpetual critics of the church, I'm a little over that. If you listen regularly, I'm over the people that are the professional critics who just spike online and, point out online, and they don't have the backbone to actually put in the blood, sweat, and tears to help reform what's wrong with the church. I love them. I believe a lot of them are truly saved but deeply wounded. But honestly, I can't partner with people that all they want to do is point out is what is wrong. I don't have time to, listen to a recycled set of whining. We need workers. We need people that will pay the price. We need people that will acknowledge the wrongdoing. I wish people would consider that the reason why you're even able to see the wrongdoing is because God's showing it to you, but God didn't show it to you so you could become a perpetual critic. He showed it to you so you could be part of the solution. And what's amazing is a lot of the people that are seeing what's wrong with the church who are meant to be a part of the solution are actually not solving anything. All they're doing is criticizing, bemoaning, and, throwing their hands up in the air. And I'm thinking, good night alive. God gave you a gift to see what's wrong so you could help, not so you could harp. So I'm sitting here wondering now, how did I get here? Because I was going to talk to you from Acts chapter 20 today about Eutychus falling asleep in the upper level of Paul's long sermon. That's not going to happen today. I'll do that on the next episode. But let me ask you this. Just let me ask you. What are you going to do with the rest of your days? Okay. Save people. Can you hear me on this one? What are you proactively going to do with the rest of your days? What are you doing in the kingdom? I know, it's not about doing, Jeff. We're not toilers. We're not, we're sons and daughters. We're not servants. No, you're both. You're sons and daughters, identity. You're servants in functionality. You need to hear that. You are sons and daughters in your identity, and you are servants in your functionality. That means every son and daughter is recruited into the family business to take his or her place in that family business. So I'm going to ask you again boldly, what are you intentionally doing as a servant of the Father? And again, I feel the protest rising up. But I'm not a servant. I'm a daughter. I'm not a servant. I'm a son. Okay. So as a son or daughter, what are you doing to bring glory to the Father? Because Jesus said that the world needs to see your light shining so it can behold your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. The world can't know God simply because you're resting in your identity as a son or daughter. That you need to rest in your identity as a son or daughter. But at some point, you've got to walk away from the burning bush. Remember when Moses approached it, he took his shoes off. He communed with God on holy ground. But eventually, guess what he did? He put his sandals back on and started walking out his calling. So some of you need to go ahead and put your sandals back on. Come out of the prayer room. Come out of the soaking center. Come out of the Shabbat Dabakukalakatu. moments and literally put your sandals on, put some work gloves on, and get to work building the kingdom. Your local church needs you. You can't afford to spend another season sour. You can't sit there on the sidelines with your checklist figuring out what your leaders are doing wrong. You've got to be a part of the solution. If your leaders are in perpetual wronghood, not a word, but if they are perpetually in error, perpetually out of character, perpetually indifferent, perpetually self-serving, you're in the wrong church. You have permission to leave. You have permission to walk away. If the church leadership is in proven dysfunction or disinterest of the things of God, you're in the wrong church. You got to walk away. It's not God's will for you to sit there and get more and more sour. Bless them on the way out. Don't cause a ruckus. Leave them to the Lord, but go find a place where you can get behind the established authority and leadership in the local church and serve, serve, serve. Some of y'all just hate that because you've got the wound of being used and wrung out. So you know, I don't want to serve. That's just toiling and striving and all that. No, my friends, it's not either or. It's not either you work yourself to a fleshly death by burning out or you just disengage completely. No, there's a beautiful middle ground where you meet Jesus. You find out what your lane is. You fulfill your calling and you just do it. And you do it consistently and you do it over the long haul. And the Lord reserves the right to tweak your assignment from time to time. But a lot of people never get really fully functional and anointed in what they're supposed to do because they don't stay in one place long enough for the oil to build up. They use the little bit of oil they have, and then they move on to the next place. And then they use a little bit of oil there, and they move on to the next place. And they don't have the joy of seeing what lasting oil and deep commitment in one place to one people and alongside of one people, they don't get the joy of seeing what deep, lasting fruit that brings in the lives of others. So we have permission to leave if we're in a place that's going to be perpetually stagnant, unfruitful, and disengaged from true kingdom. But when you find a place that is, you have to stay there for the long haul. If you're moving churches every 3 to 5 years, I love you, but unless you're apostolic and you're planting and building, you're probably operating in your flesh. And the fact that there's always a better option down the road somewhere, there probably is. You know, I mean, there's churches everywhere here in the Bible Belt. And one of the drawbacks to that is people, when they just get a little disgruntled, they just pack up and move. And in doing so, when they do that repeatedly, they prove they're actually more in it for them because their felt needs aren't getting met. Their desires aren't getting met. Somebody disappointed them. Somebody hurt them. And so they have this ungodly capability to literally nurse their wounds, send themselves flowers, have a pity party, and just pick up and go because in a certain particular season, which they chose not to endure, they just weren't getting their felt needs met. And that's why we have this borrowing and exchanging of people from church to church in local areas. It's got to stop. I tell you what, and maybe you don't care, but I'm going to tell you anyway because I'm just kind of going and just doing, I got a lot of stuff in my heart right now, and so I'm just sharing little morsels of it. But we just need to get to the place where some people make some commitments that are galvanized by the Holy Spirit and they pick up their cross and they follow Jesus daily. Remember, it says he endured the cross. He hated the shame that went with it, despised the shame, but he endured the cross. Why? Because of the joy that was set before him. And there's a lot of dissatisfied, unhappy, kind of sour Christians who have no joy, and the reason why is they didn't endure. There's actually deep, substantial, significant, life-transforming joy that comes to those that will abide through pain, discouragement, disappointment, dryness, and every season can't be a moist harvest season. There are seasons of toil. There are seasons of breaking up the fallow ground. There are seasons where you're removing reeds and weeds and rocks out of the soil you're assigned to. And then you got to do the hard work of tending the crops and protecting the crops and watering the crops. And then you get to harvest. And a lot of people are just like, every season needs to be a harvest season. I'm like, you do not understand the laws of the harvest. and you never reap in the same season you sow. There are reaping seasons for sure, and they're glorious and good, but before the reaping season comes the labor. And so I want to encourage some of you. I can say this to Mavericks and Misfits podcast listeners and viewers. I can say this because if you've continued to listen to this podcast, you know that you're going to get challenged. Because I, in whatever capacity I have, I want to make sure there's at least one voice not patronizing you, not coddling you. I'm not mean. I'm just straightforward. And one voice that is saying to you, hey, up your game. You're doing it for the King of Kings. You are living your life not for a theological distant deity, but for the King who came to you in your lostness and your sinfulness and your ignorance. And he came with a strong hand and holy determination to bring you into his forever family. And he forgave everything you've ever done. He brought you in, not on a judicial technicality, but in lavish, bleeding love. And he said, I want you. You're going to be mine. We're going to be together forever. Come on adventure with me. Come run with me. I carried a cross. I want you to carry a cross. I'm going to help you underneath the weight. My yoke is easy. My burden is light. You will never be alone. I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. So come on, daughter. Come on, son. That's the one who we pledged our lives to. And the amount of whining and pouting and self-serving and self-focus and I want mine and the self-centeredness has got to stop. And for those of you that have ears to hear, eyes to see, and as Jesus said, hearts to remember, you're going to endure. You're going to keep pressing on. Some of you right now today need to get out of your feels and you need to get into the spirit. You're feeling more, you're being emotionally led more than you're being spirit led. You trust what you feel above what God is doing or what God has said. You've got to repent of that. You've got to say, I'm not feeling it right now. I'm kind of discouraged. I'm kind of down. Jeff's just kind of barking at me today. But man, this is a bark that'll wake you up and show you that your days are passing by and you can't afford to sit on the sidelines anymore. You can't afford to come into agreement with the fact that it's never going to be what it should be. I break that off in the name of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the King of Hope. Like, my goodness, what an incredible time to be alive. The devil is absolutely scrambling. He's furious. He is literally, he knows his time is short, so he's overplaying his hand at an epic level. And all we need to do to continue to do is be a fasting, praying, humble, spirit-filled, word-guided group of born-again people who have made up their minds that they're seeking first God's kingdom and God's righteousness, and all the other stuff is going to be added to us by the nail-pierced hand of the one who guides us. Well, I think I'm going to turn off the fire hydrant because I've given you plenty to drink. And I hope that you will consider what I've said. And I hope that you'll do something with it. If you guys are just listening to the podcast because you've come to learn that Jeff has the ability to talk decently and you like to hear it, I get emails and I appreciate the encouragement. But I am so much more interested in knowing that people are doing something with what I'm releasing than I am with just, hey man, I loved what you said, da 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 da. I'm a messenger. I am a messenger. I don't even have the rights to my own messages because they aren't mine. They just come from the Lord. And he uses a human voice, a human vocabulary, the gift that he gave to a human. And I just kind of go, I hit record and just like, Lord, give them something they can respond to. So Holy Spirit, please give action items to those that are listening today. Please help them hear your voice. Please help them know their own hearts. Please help them come out of agreement with deception, discouragement, and disillusionment. Help them to believe again that what you've done for them, Jesus, is greater than anything anybody's done to them. And bring them out of the shadows And Lord, for those that are already on fire, I just pray today, Lord, that this wind is spreading the fire. It's spreading the fire. That the ones that were already on the level 10 being sold out to you, I pray, Lord, that you would take them to level 20, level 30, level 40, whatever that means, Father. But I'm just asking you, God, that we would redeem the days, redeem the time, because the days are evil. So wake us up, fill us up, send us out, stand us up. And Lord, give us spines that won't bend to lesser forces. You are worthy, Jesus, and we give you honor and glory and praise. Amen. Thanks for tuning into the Mavericks and Misfits podcast. We're going to talk to you next time. God bless.
By this point, you should know what to expect on Mavericks and Misfits. And we hope that your stepped on toes will still be strong enough to walk out what you have just heard. For more resources like today's, visit the Mavericks and Misfits podcast page on YouTube. Or visit transformingtruth.org. Also, keep listening for more details and upcoming episodes about the New Kingdom project Jeff mentioned that he and Amy are beginning to work on. These are exciting times for kingdom people.